Good. Okay. How are we all doing today? Could introduce yourself. Right, we get on shiur. Anyway, so the famous, this week I was thinking, Chris, I had two options for a shiur. So maybe one I'll push off till next week. I wanted to speak about Tu B'Shvat and where does that have to do with raising children in terms of, again, going back to the old themes of Shairashim, Ilanos, and the comparison to raising fruits and raising children. But also I couldn't resist, in terms of Shalom Bayis, one of the famous Chazals, which is Kasha Zivugo Shel Adam K'Kriyas Yamsuf, which is that Kriyas Yamsuf was a marvelous trick pulled off by a Kaddish Baruch Hu right in the nick of time. But there is an expression that Kasha Zivugo Shel Adam K'Kriyas Yamsuf, and anybody holding in Shiduchim for a long time knows, which some of you did, looking around, not many of you. Well, some of you had all kinds of different experiences. But Kasha Zivugo Shel Adam K'Kriyas Yamsuf. Difficult is the Zivug, is the partnership, is the best way to say it. The Zug of a person similar to that of Kriyas Yamsuf. And there are multiple interpretations of this particular one. Actually, in an interesting find, very often I'm scared to write Hebrew words in English. So when I sent out the title of tonight's shir, I Googled, you know, how to say it in English. So Google always corrects you and sends you to some other. So Zivugo Shel Adam, I found online a fellow by the name of Yechezkel Hirschman who has 18 pshatim, which I'm going to share with you two of them in this particular story. But Kasha Zivugo Shel Adam Kriyas Yamsuf, from the Sefer written by Rabbi Tarbu, which I use a lot, he has a beautiful notion, a beautiful idea, which I think could be summarized at the end of the day by Rashi. I just think it's a simple Rashi, and it's a very important idea when it comes. And I have a kind of a humorous story with my wife and I that happened on the day of our engagement. So there's a famous thing: is Kasha. What does it mean? Zivugo Shel Adam is difficult as Kriyas Yamsuf. So there's a famous medrash that is written that says over the following: the Sheila Machuna Achas the Rabbi Yosi ben Chalafta. One time, one of these famous matrons or Romans at Kreisnish, they went over to Rabbi Yosi ben Chalafta and asked him, Amrlo. Everybody agrees that for 6 days the Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world. Okay, good. So 6 days are over. What do you do? Now, again, the assumption of this question, which we're not going to even get into, is that a Kodesh Baruch Hu created and left it, which is not true. Of course, a Kodesh Baruch Hu constantly yotzer, Adam Uvarius, I call a Kodesh Baruch Hu constantly recreating. Okay, but the goy should come, so let's leave it alone. So he says, Mishishav lakan ma'ose, amalo, mezavig ba'olam zivugim. He's making shiduchim. He's got to make sure that everybody finds a lovely wife for themselves. Va'amr, ploni yisa plonis, uplonis tinasa ploni. The man should marry this woman, and the woman should marry this man. We're not going to talk about the idea of a bashert, but a different idea. Umoshivin bibate. They went home. Amrlo, yicholami lezavig, elef biyomechad. I can marry off 1,000 people in one day. He's like a cult leader. You know, that's a big deal. Shit, a crisis. Ah, come on. No problems. Shasak Rabbi Yosef, halachal, Rabbi Yosef left. Ma'as, so what did the matron do? Have you elef avadim ve'elef shivchos? They brought 1,000 slaves and 1,000 midwives together, v'zivug and lezelezeh, and they made a big chasene, a huge chasene, 1,000 people, right? I think they had that once with the Moonies in New York as a kid, I remember. Amr lahem, ploni yisa plonis, you marry you, uplonis tinase leploni, and she marries him. What happened? They went home that night and they got into fights. They started hitting each other. Levoker, holchu esla. In the morning, everybody went to her. Din reshe p'tsua v'din yadeh p'tsua. This one, their head was cracked open, and this one, their hand was cracked. Shalchem shvil Rabbi Yosi v'sifil lomaisis. The matron went back to Rabbi Yosi and says, "Listen, I married off 1,000 people, but look what happened." Amala ima davar zeh kalhu beinecha. He said, if this idea is easy in your eyes, this idea is difficult in front of a Kodesh Baruch like Kriyas Yamsuf. Hadu d'chsiv, and then he gives a pasuk, etc. Ma'awal ke Moshev Yechidim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Edanosam, Umevi Zem Yimakam Echav Zem Yimakam Echav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranges that such a person has to come from this place, and such kinds of person this place, Umashim Beis Echad, and yet they come together in one place. So it kind of reminds me, you know, my wife and I, you know, I was 8, she was 6, right? It was easy. Of course, I had to go my whole way, and she had to go her way, you know, and everybody looks at their lives, and they see that all of these various, I don't want to say coincidences had to happen in order for the shidduch to happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranges that all these things should happen. So, just let's understand the story. We're going to ask some kashas on the story, and then through this, we're going to examine exactly what the lessons are for us. So, the following. He asked the following He asks, there are a couple of maskaras from this Gemara. Number one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of Shiduchim. Right? That it's already done, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just arranging that everybody is going to wind up in the proper house. But it sounds like not only is HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranging the Shiduchim, but the matron's problem was she made the Shiduchim, but she couldn't sustain the Shidduch. So it sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is part of the issue is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sustaining the Shidduch. Okay? Which is critical. Okay? The next thing is, it's Kasha. Two things. Kasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Zivug, and Kriyas Yamsuf. So it's very hard to understand, because is something really hard in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why is Kriyas Yamsuf hard, and why is Shiduchim hard? And really, if we understand that, that's the key question that's going to unlock the key to this whole sugya. And what exactly is the level that they're equating? Where is exactly the connection between Kriyas Yamsuf and that of Kriyas Yamsuf and that of Shiduchim? Okay. So we got to understand all this. So the first thing is, the first comparison, which I saw in many, many Sfarim, and I think is he wants the peanut butter squares. Don't mess around with my plan. The first thing you got to understand is that Kriyas Yamsuf is the most interesting miracle of all time. I saw a great vort from Rabbi Reisman last week, and he quoted it from somebody, I forgot who it was, from Rosh Hashiva. I'm not going to speak about the Makos, how that was supernatural for the mitzvah, but natural for us. But when it came to Kriyas Yamsuf, what was crazy about Kriyas Yamsuf was the following. Was the very same event that happened was marvelous for one group and terrible for another group. The Jews, obviously, at Kriyas Yamsuf, which saved them. But the very same Kriyas Yamsuf, the very same event that happened, ultimately drowned the mitzvah. So you have two people engaged in the same event. For one, it's the greatest moment of all time, and for others, it's their ultimate downfall. And it's the same exact event. That's a very difficult thing to pull off, because generally, either something is good or something is bad. If it's sunny outside...
Not really, because the mitzvah didn't have Kriyas Yamsuf.
Oh, they were natural. So, but that's why it's kasha of Kriyas Yamsuf. The event of Kriyas Yamsuf was difficult for the mission because that led to their downfall. So that's Rabbi Reisman's Ha'ara, which I want to share. Rabbi Reisman's Ha'ara is that by the Makos, it was supernatural for the Mitzrim and natural for us. And when it came to Yitzias Mitzrayim, it was supernatural for us. And what happened to them was the most natural thing in the world. But the way that some of these forum, the way I saw here, he quotes this Rabbi Grushkin from the Yeshiva Gedolah, Perth Amboy. When it comes to, it's very interesting, that he had to give something for the same exact event. I told 18 things. He had to give the same exact event that would ultimately be one for the other. And that's a difficult twist to pull off. That by the same event, something like that could happen. And this is, we all know this by marriage. I'm going to add one little insight. The Gemara says in Sota, which we quoted, that Zachu, Shechita b'nei. If the two parties get together, Givaldik, Shechita is with you. Lo Zachu, Eisha chlosen. Marriage is a funny thing. Marriage is one of two things. There's no middle ground. When it comes to marriage, right, it's so that this could be the equation to Kriyas Yamsuf. It's either great or it's either terrible. What does the Gemara in Yavamah say? We've told this Gemara a number of times. The Gemara in Yavamah says, it's motzi or matzah. If it's good, it's matzah. If it's no good, it's motzi. There's no in middle ground. And that's Kriyas Yamsuf. There's no middle ground. Is either victorious or the downfall. This is marriage. The same exact event. That's kasha, to keep the same event. But I want to add, and I think that this is critical for everybody's marriage. I think within every marriage, there's no middle ground. Meaning, there are going to be times where it is blissful and it is the greatest marriage of all time. But there are going to be times in marriage where it's kasha like a Kriyas Yamsuf, if you're going to be almost like a mitri. Where it's going to be, it could be, you're feeling like it's downfall. There's no question in my mind that we say, im ein shalom ein klum. If there's no shalom, there's nothing, right? We say this in a number of places. That shalom has to be the kli that's machzik. And this is why I think, you know, hearing shurim like this is so important. When I think about this, it's so important. Is that shalom is the most critical thing in the entire world. Because shalom is the vessel which contains all your simcha. If your day starts off with a fight with a spouse, whether it's a man or a woman, your whole day is ruined. Because all you're doing, thinking about all day, is that fight that you had. And if you're not, then your whole marriage stinks anyway. Right? But because you're bothered by it. And it's not like, or you're very happy about your marriage. But to have this middle ground in marriage, that's a chiddush. It's kind of like, you know, there's no such thing. There's the only, what's the opposite of love? It's hate. No, it's not. Love and hate They're like channels of one another. Indifference is the opposite of love. And if you have an indifferent marriage, that's a disaster. If you have a hateful marriage, that's a disaster. The only kind of marriage that's good is love. So I think within a marriage, sometimes you go from love to hate. You know, there's nobody who could irritate anybody more than a parent, child, spouse within that family, within the family event. And it's important to recognize that. That part of the reason why you're so miserable at that particular moment is only because it matters and it's important. And the very, so within the, so there's no such thing as middle ground, just like there's no such thing as a middle ground of Kriyas Yamsuf. But I want to examine this idea a little bit deeper as to what's so kasha, what's so difficult. Yeah, it's this equation between the two, but I think that there's something deeper and there's something that I'm going to explore tomorrow in my Parsha Shir, but Rabbi Tauber does explore on a little bit of a level. He says like this. He says, there's a famous idea that before Moshe Rabbeinu dives in to Kriyas Yamsuf, he starts tefillah. Starts a moment of tefillah, which is always a good idea before anybody gets involved in a difficult thing, right? Before you get married, you know the kallahs, they get on the chair and they all daven. I'm not sure if they really want to daven or it's just a good photo opportunity. But either way, you know, maybe the photo opportunity creates the good shoot. You know, they got the elbow there and they're doing this whole thing. So, before the event, Moshe Rabbeinu starts a daven. But the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, what is the Kadosh Baruch Hu's response? Matzitzek Eli. This is not a time for tefillah. This is not a time to sit and daven. This is a time for action. This is a time to head in to the Yamsuf. And at this particular moment, Moshe Rabbeinu starts. But it's not Moshe Rabbeinu who goes in. Most under, again, there are three things in the Torah that are not in the Torah, that everybody thinks are in the Torah. One of them is Avram Avinu by the Kivshana Eish. It's not in my Chumash, right? Every kid tells you, what's in the Chumash? I'm like, you know, take it away. I forgot the second one. Something else with Avram Avinu.
The idols.
Oh, the idols, right, when he chopped all their heads. And Nachshon ben Aminadov is going in. His name is not in the parish. You know, his name is Elisheva's husband, as Elisheva's brother. But anyway, so Nachshon ben Aminadov is the one who goes in. And it's not Moshe Rabbeinu, it's Dafka Nachshon ben Aminadov. And a lot of the Mepharshim are bothered by this idea as to why it has to be Moshe and not, why does it be Nachshon and not Moshe? And what's the problem here with tefillah? And he says this Biramiza. I don't think he says this exactly, but I'm going to build off a little bit of what Rabbi Tauber says. And it's the following idea. By the Makos, it was clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one who took them out. They were on the 49th level of Tumah. Klal Yisrael halalu avdei avodah zarah, v'halalu avdei avodah zarah. Both the Egyptians and the Jews were both serving avodah zarah, and both of them were neither was. We had a certain neshama that was more chashuv than them. But halalu avdei avodah zarah, v'halalu avdei avodah zarah. So Kadosh Baruch Hu performs all these miracles in order for the Jews to get out, but really to defeat the Mitzvah, to leave the Jews in the beginning. By Kriyas Yamsuf, we needed to do something to merit Kriyas Yamsuf. It's crazy. Very, you know, what's happening in France is a bit of a chiddush. That the anti-Semitism is so great, that's not a chiddush. That the UJA has now said that they expect that one quarter of the Jews of France to leave France, that's a huge chiddush. Why? Because most of the time, even though it's anti-Semitism, we stay. Historically, inertia is the greatest force in all of physics. I don't know, some science, right? Inertia is the greatest force. People don't like to move. 4/5 of the Jews didn't leave Mitzrayim. What happens when somebody tries to rip you off a tree? You hold on to a branch. Why not get off the tree and just get out of there? It's very hard to leave a place that you called home, even though you're getting oppressed. I was just talking to my kids about this, about a certain area. People just don't like to leave their homes. Even if it's a bad neighborhood, people just don't like to. The Jews were holding on to Egypt. That's why it's not so crazy when the Egyptians were going, we should have never left. You don't want to go anywhere. It's the most normal thing in the world. So there was a big force when the Egyptians were coming to say, okay, and not to do. And Moshe Rabbeinu, for him, I don't want to say it was easy, but it was easier because he had the direct, clear voice with the Kadosh Baruch. So it's not a time for action. This was a time for the Jews to kind of step in and Moshe Rabbeinu to make his way into the water, not Moshe, for Nachshon ben Aminadav, get into the water and to split the sea based on actions of a Jew, which goes against nature. The very natural, the most natural thing in the world for the Yid was to stay and to go back and to retreat. Okay, listen, I don't want to cause any trouble. People do craziest things because they don't want to cause machlokas. They don't want to rock the boat. It took a guy like Nachshon, tremendous Mesiris Nefesh, to go into the water. This is why it's kasha. Mizavni Kriyas Yamsuf. Also difficult about Kriyas Yamsuf. It was difficult because it wasn't in God's control. It was in our control. There was an awakening from below. It was in his Arul Vilasasa. It had to come from us. If it didn't come from us, it would have never happened. You know how hard it is for a father to allow his son to mess up or to succeed? When your kids get older, you know, the first time he drives away from your house, you're like, you know, shut up. You know, again, I'm watching my kids sometimes play basketball. You know how hard it is for me to sit there and to not say, cut, da, da, but like, I don't want to be that annoying father who's that guy. We all had those fathers. Not my father. My father never told me what to do. He was very good about it. Daddy, you're listening. I got your back. Anyway, so, but it's very hard as a father. That's incredibly hard to let go and to let it happen. And kasha for a Kodesh Baruch Hu to allow it to happen in the most natural way, in order for him to create the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf. But in order for him to have the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf, we had to do our part first. So that's what's going on here in Kriyas Yamsuf. Let's turn the table now. It's the same thing when it comes to Mizavkin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does everything in his power to arrange that every single person finds the right person. But ultimately, it's kasha. What's difficult? He's got to let go. Because ultimately, who's it up to? Everybody. And that comes out in two different places. Number one, in the very shidduch process, everybody in this room is married. But there's so many stories about, you know, you get up to Shemayim, the guy was single. I heard this from Alan Schwartz. He knows all the good shidduch stories because he's the Rav at OZ. I don't remember who the principals were, but there was one someone who got up to Shemayim and they never got married. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he goes to HaTaylis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how come I never found my shidduch? He says, you did, I arranged for it. You just thought she was a little bit too short. You know? So in one area, that's not for us here to hear this conversation, Akash Mizavkin Olav Kriyas Yamsuf. What is important to understand is it within the marriage itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranges that you find the right person. Within the very marriage, which could either be, like we spoke about in the beginning, it could either be the greatest thing in the world or the worst thing in the world without any in-betweens, matzah, motzeh, who's it up to? Kash and Lev, Mizavgin, Kriyas Yamsuf, the sustainability is all up to everybody themselves. It's up to each individual. There's no such person in this world who can't have shalom bayis who wants shalom bayis. Yeah, terrible things are going to happen to you within the marriage. I mean, hopefully not. But there may be a couple of things that happen that you don't necessarily like. Like, you know, you come home from a long day of work and things are not, you know, you walk in and the first thing you do is you trip over something because the kids left something by the door and you went flying. Your natural reaction is to yell at your kids, your wife, or something like that. But maybe it was there for you to, you can't look at it that way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranges that everything's there for you to have a successful marriage and a successful home and a successful bias. But how do you ensure that you have a successful bias? Is that when you walk in and you trip over that toy, you say, oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu must want me to work on my anger right now. You have to change the question. Change the question is to not, why did this person do this to me? But rather, why is this happening to me? So that I can, must be something I can work on. What is it in the bias that kashim is avgin? It's difficult for a Kaddish Baruch Hu because a Kaddish Baruch Hu is not going to help you in your bechira. Rabbi Jonathan Sachs says this many places. He said, God interferes with nature, but God does not interfere with human nature. Right? That he says in many of his books, but it's very important you show it. He'll never interfere with human nature, right? He could have, that's why in the whole story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have said to the Mitzrayim, oh, just let the Jews go. But he doesn't interfere with the Mitzrayim coming. You know, Paro is a good kasha, kasha on a Maisa, right? It's a good kasha, but, you know, I and the Ramban and the Rambam, they all talk about it. But human nature is our free choice. Our free choice is how to take the situations we're given and deal with it. Viktor Frankl wrote the most incredible book ever, and somebody, I thought about this today because somebody was walking around with it. Who was walking around with it? Oh no, it was last night. I went to pay a shiva call at 1 o'clock in the morning. Oh, no. I went to pay a shiva call. A guy walks in, he was holding the Viktor Frankl book. Because I don't know if you ever read Viktor Frankl, it's called The Search for Meaning. And his whole yesod in this book is that the people who were able to survive the Holocaust were those who not questioned as to what happened, but asked themselves, what now? What should I do with the situation that's in front of me? And what now? Karshim Mizavgin Kriyas Yamsuf, right? Shiduchim Kriyas Yamsuf. What this is telling us is the following thing. He's telling us one thing and one thing. Karshim Zivugul Shaladim Kriyas Yamsuf is telling us that. You read the whole book in one
day? No, I've never been able to finish it.
You got to skip to 74.
Yeah,
start from there.
It's great, and then it just
skips to 74.
You got to start from 70. Ah, no, but it's like a good yesod. Yeah, the Holocaust stuff is important, but that's not
right.
The yesod. The yesod of the book is the logotherapy. All
right, I'm going to skip that.
Logotherapy. Anyway, kasha zivugo shel adam kakriyas yamsuf. It's the shidduch is difficult kakriyas yamsuf because the Kadosh Baruch Hu recoils and puts himself away and says, "You deal with your situation. You make it great," which is a beautiful yesod. But the more you think about it, right, you have to go to the source. Where's the source for Kasha Zivugu Shalal? Right? It's Gemara and Sota. I'm going to have an old man moment. Mamish, I never had to do that before, but I guess. Anyway, so what does Rashi say? It's a Pasha Rashi. Vikashin, Lufnei Makom, Lizavgo, Hanach Dilafi Maisa. Everybody gets the Zivuk. It's not set in stone, Rashi says, but according to your Maisa, meaning if you improve yourself, you can improve the level of girl. Kriyas Yamsuf, like Kriyas Yamsuf. What does Rashi say? Shenishtanu Sidrei Bereishis. You've changed the order of Bereishis. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went out of his way by Kriyas Yamsuf, and he split the sea in order for the Jews to go out. But so to us, our very nature sometimes tells us to act in a way. But when you marry somebody else, you have to ask yourself the question, how am I going to change the way I am? And how am I going to do my best in a situation that I might not normally be the best? Rashi says, he changed. What is the difficulty by Kriyas Yamsuf? Because the natural law of order was that the sea should have always been a sea. But yet, at the last minute, Kadosh Baruch Hu split the sea. Similarly, us. When you trip over that toy, your natural reaction is to yell at the person that tripped that left the toy there. Change your mindset. Change your teva. Your teva could be changed. And ask yourself a different question. Not, why did the person do this to me? But why did Kadosh Baruch Hu enable everything to happen, that the thing had to be that, the trip, and what am I supposed to work on right now? When you change the question, you're bringing a Kadosh Baruch Hu more into your world every step of the day, and you're making your house that place of Kedusha, which is supposed to be. Reminds me of the day I got engaged. I'll never forget this as long as I live. I think they're both right. So we had a L'chaim, and one of my good friends, who's still married, he was married though a year and a half before me, so he's married over 20 years, do the math. And we got engaged, and the wife was talking to my wife. They knew each other a little bit from before, and she says something to him. And the guy comes to me and says, she tries to change it, don't get changed. That's what he says to me. So then afterwards, I asked my wife, I say, so what did she say to you? She said, I better change it now before we get married. Better work on yourself now. Otherwise, it's too late. So you can see that. But Baruch Hashem, they're still married, that couple. They must have figured it out. But marriage is about working on yourself. It's a constant avoda. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is difficult for him because he's going to remove himself from the equation. He's asking us to change our very nature. He's asking us to work on ourselves each and every step of the way to try to figure out why these things are happening. And if we do that, if we sit and ask the question, why is it happening? How could I better improve it? Then lemaisa, what's going to happen? Then zachush tchina shuri b'nei. Because remember, marriage is, as we started off in the beginning, it's a crapshoot marriage. It's not a crapshoot. It's all up to you. But it's the same event, just like Kriyas Yamsuf, the same event, which is great for the Jews and bad for the Mitzvah, marriage. It's great for some people, and for other people, it's like living in a Gehenna. Anyway, thus is the shtick. Okay.